and welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show, brought to you by Vivo. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, thrilled beyond belief for so many reasons today. Number one, I have one of my most favorite guests on. I hope the rest of you aren't listening and offended, but one of my most favorite guests, the funny, talented, handsome, kind, smart, New York Times spelling bee genius, Matt Barros from The Athletic. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Take that, Matt Maiocco. That was a dig at Matt Maiocco. I get it. That's cool.
Obviously. I'm so glad you were able to read between the lines on that, because that's 100% what it was.
Not very good at the New York Times crossword puzzle. I'll tell you right that. Really, really struggles with it.
Well, I said spelling bee. I don't know how you are at the crossword puzzle.
Oh, I'm not very good at the crossword puzzle. I am good at the bee. I'm really good at Wordle. I got Wordle in three today, I feel.
Oh, wow.
Pretty confident.
I've never done Wordle. I'm a spelling bee.
Really?
Yeah, but well, I've never done Wordle.
Wordle's my sort of warm-up to the bee. Like, it's not that hard, and it just kind of gets the brain rolling a little bit, and then you go straight from Wordle into the bee, and you're at full stride.
And I also really like connections. That's another like connections one I discovered that I like.
Yeah.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, the other reason I'm excited is because, as promised several weeks back, Matt and I are kind of doing a deep dive on the Michigan NFL draft prospects that potentially could be 49ers. I don't know if any of them will be 49ers, but I have predictable picks to think about. I'm not saying that the 49ers have that in mind, but for me, I think it would be really fun to add someone to Jake and Ronnie this season for predictable picks. But listen, I understand the 49ers have other priorities, which is their loss. But we are going to talk about that. But we're going to start, Matt Barros, by talking about John Lynch's Monday press conference. Always does his pre-draft media availability. This is, of course, the availability that he did with Kyle Shanahan several years ago that brought out the "we don't know who's going to be alive on Sunday." So you just really never know what you're going to get out of this day. Though I noticed Kyle Shanahan has not been back to one of these pre-draft media availabilities since then. But we had yesterday or Monday talking about Brandon Ayuk. John Lynch opened up and said, "I really don't want to talk about Brandon Ayuk. I'm not going to talk about Brandon Ayuk." And then, of course, the first couple questions. It wasn't like it was with Debo a couple years ago, but then the next 15 minutes was on Debo. But the first few questions, of course, are on Brandon Ayuk. He was asked by our colleague, Eric Branch, do you anticipate him not being on the roster Friday? I think is how he put it. And John Lynch said, "I wouldn't anticipate that." Or is there any chance is there any scenario where he won't be on the roster on Friday? And John Lynch said, "I wouldn't anticipate that," which is a very good political answer because they have said they want him to stay. But if someone comes calling with quite a package, you never know.
Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, here's one way to tie that into the draft. Obviously, Debo Samuel was upset, probably more upset, at least publicly, more upset than Ayuk is right now. And, it seemed like a more real possibility that he could get moved in the first round, and then the 49ers would use the first round pick that they got for Debo Samuel and use it on a wide receiver. They would need a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. They didn't do very much research, the really kind of meticulous research that you would want to do if you thought that you were going to be picking a wide receiver in the first round. They didn't bring any of the top guys in for visits, et cetera. It just suggested that they didn't think that they were going to get that, we're blown away type offer. Mm-hmm. Same thing is happening this year.
Correct.
Brian Thomas, for example, LSU receiver, he didn't come in. None of the top receivers came in for visits. And I would think that if the 49ers were going to plug somebody in, the 49ers team expects to go to the Super Bowl, was going to have a new number one type wideout, they would do all of the due diligence, and they just happen. So, I mean, it just kind of reinforces what Lynch is saying. We don't expect this to happen. And if it did happen, then what would they do? What would they do with that first round pick? Would they draft somebody that they really didn't do their usual first round diligence on? I don't know. So I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know for sure that, obviously, we can't predict the future, but it's shaping up
for yourself.
It's shaping up to be a lot like 2022.
Yeah, I agree. I really don't think it's going to happen either. I just don't see that happening. But of course, Lynch has to be careful in his answers, because if he says no, he'll absolutely be on the roster, and something happens, and you know, then everybody gets upset. So I agree with you. It's not most likely happening. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, okay, now that we've talked about Brandon Ayuk, and I know that's a big deal and everybody's super into it, let's talk about something important here, okay? There are 18 Michigan draft prospects. We are not going to talk about all 18.
18? Wow.
18. There are 18. So I guess Georgia a couple years ago had 15 guys drafted, which I think was a record. So Michigan had sent the most guys to the combine ever. They broke LSU's record. Will they have the most guys drafted? Time will tell. Again, we can't predict the future, so time will tell. But I'll tell you this, if NFL teams are smart, then yes. I'm wearing a Michigan sweatshirt. You can't really see it, but I just want you to know I was like ready for the theme today. It's like game day for our podcast.
You know how many UVA prospects are in this draft?
I actually have zero idea.
Well, zero is close. Zero is very, very close. It's
one. Who is the young man?
Malik Washington.
Oh yeah, I knew that actually.
He's going to be drafted probably in the third round. That's my guess. Third round.
He could be. Yeah. Do you think? Oh, if he comes to Florence, we'd be excited.
Oh, I'd be very excited. He went to Northwestern and then transferred to UVA. I went to UVA undergraduate and took a graduate program at Northwestern. We've been like, me and Malik have been like two ships in the night.
And so it's time. It's time for you guys to reunite.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now, if he comes to 49ers, I'm willing to let you franchise predictable picks and do it with him for UVA games.
Okay. All right. We'll do the one game that UVA should win. Like they play William and Mary or something like that.
Well, if you're going to franchise it, you're going to have to go all in. You got to do it every week.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot of responsibility. Well, one other thing I wanted to tell you before we started, I'm very close to my nieces, my twin nieces who live in the Bay Area. And, you know, they are doing this thing where they decide to get older every year.
Rude.
It bums me out. And they're going off to college in a year and a half. So they did their big college tour with their parents over spring break. And one of my nieces, number one college, is the University of Michigan.
Yeah, so she's my favorite of your nieces. No offense to the other niece, who I'm sure is lovely. If she needs to talk to anybody about the school, you send her to me, please.
Okay. The issue is that Michigan doesn't have early decision. And I think this is different than when you went to school, certainly different than when I went to school.
We had rolling admissions.
But yeah.
They didn't have early decision, but they had rolling admissions. I don't know if they still have that.
Right. But the issue is that if she picks an early decision school, she's going to be obligated to go to that school. And then all of a sudden, Michigan, even though it's her number one choice, is out of the running. So a lot of complicated decisions that, I mean, it's a big enough decision already, like which college is going to accept me. And then they've made all these extra layers to that. So that's what she's doing. But she wants to go to a university, a big university that's got a good football scene. So,
well, they did win the national championship. So
yeah. You
don't get much better than that. I will tell you a very quick fun fact story is that I actually was going to apply early decision to Penn and went to visit my brother at school at the University of Michigan, came back and said to my college counselor, I really hope I don't get into Penn because I want to go to Michigan. And she said, I have great news for you. You haven't applied to Penn yet. I was like, you're right. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. So I applied to Michigan. And I mean, it's amazing after telling that story that they let me into the university, but I applied to Michigan and I was actually in school by November 8th. It's the only college I applied to.
Wow, only one. So you turned down Ivy League to go to...
Well, I never applied to the Ivy League, but yeah.
School in the upper Midwest. Wow.
I loved it. That weekend in Ann Arbor, and I'm sure that nobody is shocked by that, seeing how it's continued on.
We know that you loved it, Tracy. We know.
I had that conversation with a member of the Fortinet's PR staff, and I told him the story, and I was like, but I loved it. He's like, oh, did you really? Shock. I didn't realize you liked it.
thanks for letting us know.
Clarifying that. Well, this segues perfectly into the Wolverines. We are not going to be able to talk about all 18 because, you know, we have other things to do. It is draft week. But there are a few. I actually think we could talk about my favorite that night, like dream for him to come to the 49ers. I just don't know that's going to happen. But let's start with the guys that maybe are a little bit more realistic that actually could come to San Francisco. And the ones that jump out to me, and we can delve in a little bit, are Zach Zinter, offensive lineman, and AJ Barner, the tight end. Those to me make a lot of sense. Zach Zinter, you know, has the knee injury in the Ohio State game, seems to be healed. It was felt that he was going to be ready, you know, for the draft, to be ready for the season. He feels to me like someone who could potentially be a steal. I don't know. He makes sense to me in San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't do any of the pre-draft workout stuff because he's dealing with his leg injury. And you're right. I think he probably is going to get drafted a round later than he probably should.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of fits. I mean, and we're talking, I mean, I'm thinking he's like a mid-round, later round type of guy. And uh-huh. He would fit, you know, what the 49ers have done there in the past. I mean, he's a team captain, 4-year starter, I think.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's got some Colton McKivitz vibes to him. He's not the most athletic guy in the world. But that Michigan used him, usually when, you know, Michigan runs a power scheme, obviously, and usually when they pulled a guard, it was him
mm-hmm.
pulling. So we know that he can kind of hit moving objects in space. But, you know, that's what Lynch was talking about yesterday. It's very hard for the 49ers to project offensive linemen because, you know, no college teams are doing with their offensive linemen what the 49ers do. Now, Michigan probably is close because mm-hmm. it's a pro-based thing, but they're not doing a lot of zone blocking either. So you just want to be able to see what this guy can do when he's out pulling out in space, has to hit a moving target. And I think my sense is that he did pretty well. I mean, not first or second round well, but, you know, would be somebody who would be on their radar in the middle rounds.
I agree. And Lynch talked a lot about on Monday, and Field Yates talked about this on the pod last week too, is it's not just drafting for this year, especially with a team like the 49ers, who they have 10 picks and they really probably don't have 10 roster spots, but you're drafting for the future. And I don't know that I think Zinter probably fits both of those thoughts, potentially someone for the season and potentially someone for the future. I'm moving into my next Michigan potential draft pick with this segue in case anybody's confused. But I think you look at an AJ Barner potentially as somebody like that, as they're going to have to make some decisions. They're still searching for their tight end too. They, you know, they did a free agency signing. They didn't get the guy they really wanted. So then they got, you know, in their mind, I suppose, the next best thing. But AJ Barner really fits a lot of what they do. He's a heck of a blocker. He is a great pass catcher. JJ McCarthy actually said, I believe on Adam Schefter's podcast that AJ Barner is going to be the guy that he thinks will surprise everybody, because he didn't have to catch so many passes in their offense, but he has that ability. He feels Kittle-y to me. So I don't know. I think he could.
Kittle-y, huh? That's high praise.
Well, you know how I feel about the Michigan guys.
Kittle would take exception to that because Kittle was really fast coming.
Well, that's true. That's
Iowa.
True.
And AJ Barner, that's AJ Barner's, you know.
Yes, that's true.
He ran a 4.84, which is slow.
I mean, I probably, it's probably better than I could run, but I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Easy. I agree with you. I mean, you know, Michigan tight ends, they use their tight ends to block. So the tight ends have to do a lot of things, and they use two tight ends a lot as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which the 49ers would want to do. Anyone from Michigan, from that Michigan offense will have played a lot of games, a lot of big games, and a lot of game, you know, a lot of kind of pro style situations. So he'd be a nice fit. And I think, how did Schoonmaker do this past season? He was a rookie tight end from Michigan that the 49ers looked at in last year's draft. Did he go to Dallas?
He went to Dallas. It's funny, actually, he was one that I thought last year was a strong possibility.
Yeah, I think he was.
I did not foresee them drafting Ronnie Bell. Jake Moody, I've obviously talked a lot about, but I did not foresee them drafting Ronnie Bell. I thought they were going to draft Schoonmaker. He went to Dallas for Schoonmaker. He did go to Dallas. I think he did fine. I didn't keep a super close watch on his season. I will say this, Dallas games that I watched, I think he caught a pass in every one, including the one that we covered at Levi Stadium. So
a little bit better than Cameron Latu.
He played. So right off the bat, I think it was a little bit better than Cameron Latu. And in fairness to poor Mr. Latu, he did get injured. Before he got injured, it still didn't look like he was going to do a lot of playing. But he did get injured, and Schoonmaker did not. But he did play, and I think he did fine. I don't think he had like a breakout amazing season, but again, I didn't keep super close eye on him. And I'm sorry, Luke, because there's just only so much I can do in one season. But
there's so many Michigan players to keep track in the NFL.
And then they were winning. It was just so much to do. And I had the guys in Santa Clara that I had to keep track of. It was a lot. But I will, like I said, every single game, every Dallas game I watched, he did at least catch a pass. I know that. So,
well, what do you know about, The Michigan tight end that intrigues me the most is
Colson,
an Iowa tight end. He started out as a Michigan tight end and then transferred to Iowa this last season. Eric All, really is athletic. I mean, he's almost the opposite of AJ Barner. I don't know if he's super fast, but he looks like a really good receiver. He gets the ball in his hands and he's got great balance. He fights for extra yards. He looks like a sort of an H-back, a possible replacement for Kyle Juszczyk if Juszczyk move on in the coming years. But I know that he's sort of got an interesting past at Michigan, and I couldn't really kind of discern from the scouting report stuff what exactly happened. I mean, is there any juicy dirt there on Eric All?
I don't really have any scuttlebutt, so to speak. I really like that word, so I just felt like that was a great opportunity to use it. I don't have all that much scuttlebutt on that. My feeling had been, and obviously there's probably more dirt to it than I was originally paying attention to when it all happened, was that between AJ Barner and Colson Loveland, he just wasn't going to get the time and the opportunity. Colson Loveland is one heck of a tight end. That's a guy who probably next year is going to come out and be fantastic for somebody. But that was always my feeling. I know there were rumors. I don't know if he didn't get along with Harbaugh, which is shocking because everybody gets along with Harbaugh. Yeah. But I think there was some scuttle. Once again, I'm throwing out there, I think there was some scuttlebutt around that. But I don't have any really good dirt for you. But I probably could find out and get back to you offline.
Well, he's interesting. I mean, the 49ers brought him in.
He's a very good, good tight end. He's very athletic for all the reasons you mentioned.
Yeah, he's coming off an ACL in October. So, I mean, that's gonna drop him. Yeah. That's going to drop him farther than Zach Zinter, because you're not sure if he's going to be ready at the... But, I mean, if he's somebody that's still there in the sixth round or something late like that, wow, that would be quite a steal. You sort of resign yourself to him having a redshirt season. Boy, you would have really a talented offensive weapon, which is what Kyle Shanahan's always looking for.
They love a good offensive weapon. And I think if you are, as we talk about drafting for the future, if you are looking ahead, I mean, Kyle Juszczyk isn't going to play forever. You know, there are positions that are going to change in the next couple of years. And so if you have someone with that kind of versatility, then I agree with you. If he's there later, and he may be because of his ACL injury, I mean, that definitely will drop him down. So, you know, and again, because they don't have that many roster spots, drafting someone who knows going to have a red shirt year would make a lot of sense for him. Also, Eric All, I mean, the headlines write themselves. 49ers give it their all.
All American.
Yeah, I mean, there's like so many things we can do with that.
All in all.
All in all, I don't feel like he's going to want to be in predictable.
Taking all together. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, John Lynch even noted that yesterday. He's like, you know, I don't know if there are 10 spots on this roster.
Right.
Certainly not 10 starting spots. He also said that the NIL stuff has made it so that the later round picks aren't going to be as talented as they usually are. More people are staying in college. So maybe you use your 6th, 7th round picks on, you know, medical red flag guys. You know, you're obviously taking a swing. It's a risky move, but, you know, it's it might be better than a guy that you just don't think is very good.
Absolutely. And I mean, they're in an interesting position. This is a team that lost by 3 points in overtime at the Super Bowl. I mean, they're not, it's not like there's so many glaring needs. If they did nothing, if they had done nothing in free agency and skipped the draft, which would be weird, but if that happened, they were still a really good football team and they're still going to compete. So they are in an interesting position where they can take some swings and some chances in those later rounds. This isn't necessarily Michigan specific, but I kind of love your thoughts on this. Do you think they do trade some of those picks? What do you think the odds are that? Because maybe they don't need to use all 10 of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would like to. But if every other team has the same outlook, they're going to be hard to move. I couldn't tell. I mean, Tim Kawakami and I got a different sense of what Lynch was saying when he was talking about pick 31 and how teams might want to kind of come back into the first round. I thought he was saying that it's going to be harder this year because usually, you know, part of that transaction is you pick up some late round picks. Mm-hmm. And those late round picks wouldn't be all that valuable to the 49ers. So why would they do it? But Tim sort of thought that he was saying that they might do that. He certainly was saying, give me a call.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the possibilities. I mean, and that's sort of what these guys, I mean, this is a, league mandated pre-draft press conferences. Trent Baalke does it. All the GMs across the league have to do it. And I think part of it is that they are kind of sending signals to each other.
Yeah.
I'm sure each of them watches the others or has somebody in their organization watch every press conference and try to kind of pick up the secret, you know, spy signals that they're sending out to each other.
If he picks up his water bottle at 8 minutes in, it means he's willing to trade his first round pick. If he sips the water, it means you better have one hell of an offer. I like that.
If I tug on my earlobe three times,
Brandon Ayuk is available. But if I tug on it once, no chance. I like the idea of Morse code spy signals. Well, this brings me actually, I want to talk about Chris Jenkins and Blake Corum, but this conversation brings me a little bit to the one, of course, I want the most in Santa Clara that I don't think is going to happen. But and that's Mikey Sammer still, the nickel corner.
We're going to call him Mikey. We're going to call him.
Well, that's, he goes by Mikey.
Diminutive. He's like already a little guy, and you're going to call him Mikey.
I mean, he goes by Mikey. He goes by Mikey Sammer still. I don't know if that will change when he gets in the NFL. If he's going to be
Mike
like
now, it's Mike
Trubisky, who's like I'm Mitchell and not Mitch. But he goes by Mikey Sammersil. So we can call him. I can call him Mikey. You can call him Mike. I mean, I'm a Michigan person, so it just might be different for me, you know?
Yeah.
You're an outsider, so maybe you call him Mike.
Well, for now, but once my niece gets in, I'm gonna be there every game.
That's true. He won't be there anymore, but
game. Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna start covering Michigan. If you're gonna be there every game, you're gonna have to start covering Michigan. Which sounds like a dream come true. But so Mikey, Michael, who knows which way we're going to go here. But when you look at that pick 31, I think the only way they get Sandra still, of course, is, or maybe not of course, but is if they do trade out of the first round and they end up with a much earlier second round pick. I do not think Sandra still is going to be there at 63. I also don't even know if it's such a need for them. He's just, in my humble, totally not biased opinion at all, he is a very special player. And the thing I come back to, and again, this just may be my really wanting to come to the Bay Area, is that he started his career as a wide receiver. And he was a good wide receiver. And so I feel like there's a lot of versatility there. It feels like a Kyle Shanahan thing where now he knows he can take this nickel corner and put him in at wide receiver sometimes just to throw people off. And who knows what you can do with that.
Yeah. And it also kind of suggests that he's not entirely the defensive player that he's going to be. He's still sort of mid-ascent at that. And, you know, for some reason, nickel cornerback is still being devalued. And, you know, it may be that nobody wants a first-round pick or early second-round pick, which I think is, I mean, I would think that that sentiment is going to change just given how often the nickel cornerback is now on the field. I mean, nickel cornerback plays more snaps than Nick Bosa does. I mean, you take the defensive end off the field all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Getting in and out. So I don't quite understand the logic of it. I do wonder about Sandra Still and him kind of moving around, changing positions. You know, he reminds me a little bit of like Earl Thomas and Baker, sort of smallish little field generals who are whip smart and have really a cult of personality and can sort of lead a defense like that.
And he did. Lead that defense.
Yeah. I mean, he's got all those traits, but that's the sort of traditional role of the free safety, lining everybody up in the backfield, sort of being a team captain out there. I mean, he's small. He's 5'9", 182. Earl Thomas, I wrote this down, was 5'10", 208. Buda Baker, 5'9", 195. And Buda Baker is one of the best safeties in the league. Just ask George Kittle. I mean, duke it out all the time. But, you know, the 49ers haven't re-signed Tashaun Gibson. They like to have, you know, they like to sort of have the brainy leader in that spot. And I think that I just wonder whether Sandra Still, if you saw that, if you're a team that sees Sandra Still as a safety, plays 100% of the defensive snaps, whether pick 31 or early second round would be worthwhile. And maybe you start him out at nickel cornerback and he becomes a safety in his, you know, second or third year. But that would seem to be the way that you could convince yourself to pick him maybe earlier than people have projected.
Yeah, I would be so surprised they picked him at 31. I mean, I would be supportive, obviously.
Yeah,
but
you hear a scream in the media room.
Well, I did. When I squealed when they picked Jake. I think there was like a little squeal that came out of
it. Jake Moody?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There was a little bit of a squeal last year, so I'm going to try not to do that. But I don't know if they pick Sandra Still at 31, it's going to take a lot of control not to be like, hey, but I won't do that. I'll keep it inward.
All right.
I will definitely keep it inward.
Try to stifle it. Yeah.
I'll try to stifle it for sure. I don't foresee that happening. I really think the only way is if they trade earlier in the second round, or if for some reason he's there at 63. I don't know if his size does that.
It could
do that. When it's funny when you talk about the other guys in my head, they're so much bigger than he is. And I guess they are. I mean, I think the 1 inch and the 20 some odd pounds are significant. And then 5'9", 190, did you say 195 for Buda Baker?
Yeah, 5'9", 195. I mean, Kaywan Williams is the only guy in recent memory that I can think of who was in that locker room who is a similar size. And he might, and Kaywan may have been under 182. But I mean, it's not like Sandra Still plays like a small player.
He
comes up and he uses that speed and, you know, it's all about physics at that point. Mass times acceleration type of thing. So he plays in a big way. And I don't think he's got a real injury history either, right?
He does not.
So, I mean, that would seem to kind of lessen that concern.
And he really did lead that defense. I mean, when you watch in the game, the person that was leading that different defense, telling everybody where to go, I mean, that was Sandra Still. And the other thing with him, and I don't have stats on this, but from where I was sitting, I mean, he led the country in making a play when needed. That's the thing with him that really jumped out to me. I've never seen a player, at least at the college level, who if the game could go right or left and you wanted to go right, he always made the play. whenever they needed to. And then he did it, of course, on the biggest stage on national television in the national championship game. And it looked like Michigan probably had that game in hand, but that interception sealed it. And he did that so many weeks. It's just kind of an incredible talent. And that's an instinct thing. And I know the NFL will be more difficult, but I think that's something. If I'm a team, you look at those instincts, you look at the brains, you look at the athleticism, you look at the leadership, it all feels like a really good fit.
Yeah. So there's my pitch.
Should I clip this and send this part to John Lynch?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 12 pass breakups, six interceptions is
six interceptions.
Like that's a career. This is in 2023 that Sanders still had this, but most of the guys we're talking about don't have six in their entire college careers.
No, he had six this season. He's incredible. That's what I'm saying. Leads the league in making a play when necessary. Led the country in making a play necessary. So I don't know. To me, he's a very special player. I don't know if 49er fans may go ballistic if the 49ers were to take him at 31, which I don't know if they will, but I think he is very special and we'll see. So there's our Mike Samrisel pitch. We can clip this off, send it over to John Lynch. Just be like, hey guys, just this is important. So Mikey Samrisel.
Mikey.
Maybe soon to be Mike. Nobody Mike or Michael. Nobody yeah. knows. Nobody knows, but still very exciting. All right. So we have a couple more to discuss. Chris Jenkins is one. I don't think this is a draft term. I know people refer to people as twitchy. I'm going to refer to him as twisty.
But
twisty too. Like I just actually twisted. Those of you listening can't see it.
Twisty. Okay.
Twisty. I'm going with twisty, but I think that they have similar meanings, but Chris Jenkins, the last two that we were going to discuss that potentially had chances would be Chris Jenkins and Blake Corum. We were maybe going to touch on Roman Wilson, but I think they kind of drafted someone similar to Roman Wilson out of University of Michigan last season. So I don't know that they need two, but we'll see. That being said, watch them take Roman Wilson like in the second round. But Chris Jenkins, I'd love your thoughts on him. There are some differing opinions on Chris Jenkins and his ability and how he would do in the NFL. He obviously played very well for Michigan. Father was a heck of an NFL player. But what do you see when you look at Chris Jenkins?
Yeah, I see someone who's exactly what the 49ers usually look for in a tackle. I mean, he's got a lot of Javon Hargrave ability because he is twitchy. The offensive lineman and twisty. The 49ers offensive linemen talk about Hargrave as somebody who, a fraction after the snap, he's already on their hip. He's got such a quick first step. He's already sort of the aggressor, and they have to adjust to him, and sort of the whole shape of the offensive line gets altered by one guy. Mm-hmm. And when you've got a Nick Bosa and Javon Hargrave, that's what you want. You want that offensive line to be right from the snap, sort of off kilter. And there are a couple of guys in this draft that do that. The guy from Illinois, Johnny Newton. Mm-hmm. Like that. Michael Hall from Ohio State. And I know we don't talk about Ohio State here. And Chris Jenkins is the other guy. I mean, I don't know if he's going to drop far enough into the 60s for the 49ers. But if he is, and if they hadn't taken a defensive lineman with that number 31 overall pick, I definitely see him as a possibility there just because he's sort of perfect for the role. And yeah. I thought it was interesting. You just mentioned his dad. I mean, John Lynch was talking yesterday all about
bloodline.
Everybody assumed, he was talking about, Brendan Rice or Luke McCaffrey. But Lynch went on about it for a little while.
And
his thesis was, I believe in bloodlines. And Chris Jenkins got great bloodlines. It not only Chris Jenkins Sr., who played for 10 seasons in the NFL, but Colin Jenkins is...
Yeah, it's his uncle, right?
Yeah, and he played for 14 seasons. And both of them are different. Both of those guys were just massive, sort of space eater types. He's different. He's not nearly as big. He's 299 pounds. But
I think he's down to 360, so there is definitely a significant difference there.
Yeah, exactly. the whole Mikey stand was still between them. but I mean, again, he what was it? I wrote it down. Oh, 4.491 40 at 300 pounds. That's impressive.
It is,
and that's going to
feel better than I could do.
Yeah, exactly. that's going to catch the 49ers' attention. So, I would think that he's definitely a possibility at that second round pick, but he's not going to be there with the third round pick.
No, I don't think he will either. And that quick first step that you brought up, that's a big part of his game, and that's part of why he was successful. So will be interesting to see. And then our last one that we were going to talk about is Blake Corum, who, interesting running back, because he was 1 year removed from an ACL injury. He had a great season, not quite as quick as he was before the injury, but ACL injuries do take some time. So when you talk about a player that's potentially ascending, like you mentioned with San Rastil, you know, different, but I think Blake Corum, who again had a heck of a season and was tremendous in that offense and essentially won the Alabama game, won the Rose Bowl for them. But he's somebody that could really fit. I sure wouldn't want them to take him the third round, though, because the 49ers and third round running backs is not a great combination. So, but he's someone that becomes kind of an interesting player. And I mean, a tremendous athlete. And talk about heart and leadership and all of the things you look for. He's got all of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's another sort of small body guy, and it's probably going to hurt him. 5'7". Mm-hmm. He's shorter than Sanders still by 2 inches. But he obviously is powerful. I mean, breaks a lot of tackles. He's got great balance, and he's got great quickness. I mean, he seems to get up to speed very quickly, which is what the 49ers are looking for. He reminds me, I'm going to date myself, but I grew up watching a lot of NFC East, and the Giants had a running back named Joe Morris in the 1980s, and he was tiny, but they could not tackle him. He was like John Madden used to joke that Joe Morris was like a regular sized guy kind of compacted into a small body. Like, he had the strength of a, you know, 6'3", 250-pound guy, but he was 5'7". Sometimes those guys are just hard to bring down. They're just so well balanced. And that's what I see in him. I only started tuning into your Michigan games late in the year, but I thought that he was always the best player on the field.
Oh, he was.
In some of these games. And I was going to say that he's underrated. Dave Brugler has him as his second rated running back in this draft. So it may be that the position is underrated. We're just not hearing a lot about Blake Corum sort of nationally, and I think we should. I mean, he just seems like someone you can almost guarantee that he's going to be good at the NFL level. Again, played in a pro-style system, you know, knows how to run in traffic, knows how to kind of find openings. That's what you want.
Absolutely. And along those lines, will himself into the end zone. I mean, I think if you were to watch the Rose Bowl, the two touchdowns, that was him saying, "No, you're not stopping me. I am getting into that end zone and we are going to win this game," which I much appreciated. But he's a great player. And like I said, ACL injuries do take some time. So I think you're going to see him even faster and better in his first NFL season than he probably maybe even was in his last season at Michigan, where he had a tremendous season. And I agree, was one of the best players on the field. So we'll see. Should be very interesting. I mean, I don't think we're going to have this many Michigan guys, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 new Michigan guys on the 49ers, but God, what a dream come true that would be, huh? You're welcome, guys.
I mean, I'll be a lot of squealing in that media room on draft day.
I mean, I will just say this, and this logic makes sense to me. They won a national championship. 49ers want to win it all. The 49ers want to win it all. If you want to be a champion, don't you think you should have champions on your team? I'm just throwing that out there. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Maybe they don't really have any hunger anymore because they already won it. You're like, I've been there.
No, because then you want to be the guy who won a national championship and the Super Bowl.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that the 49ers will draft a running back? I mean, hasn't been discussed a lot, but you can definitely make an argument that they could use somebody behind Christian McCaffrey, considering Elijah Mitchell is always on the injury table.
I think that's true, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Elijah Mitchell, when healthy, is a heck of a running back, so I wouldn't be surprised if at some point Elijah Mitchell is someone they think about potentially trying to trade. And so if you're going to do that, I mean, yes, Blake had the ACL injury, but he came back this year and he never missed a game, really a moment. And he is very durable. And even the ACL injury was weird. It was a very kind of weird, freaky injury thing. So yeah, I mean, I could see them drafting a running back. They haven't had a ton of luck with it except for Elijah Mitchell, but yeah, I could see them drafting a running back. Cause I think again, when you think about how many spots they have left and starting spots, especially, and you're looking to the future, yeah, I think you would potentially want someone that could be behind Christian McCaffrey. And I think the problem with Elijah Mitchell, as good as he is when healthy, he's so rarely healthy, which is so unfortunate and a hard thing, but you can't really rely on him, you know, being that guy. So it could happen. I don't feel like I'm going to go with, you know what? I'm just going to go with yes. How about yes? You want a definitive answer. I'm giving you a definitive answer. Yes. I think they will draft a running back. Hopefully it's not the third round for that man.
Yeah. They've got those two six round picks and a seventh. And if they have to use them, you know, just given what Lynch said about the quality of those picks, that maybe a position that is undervalued, like running back would be the pick there. I know that Quorum won't last till the sixth round, but I wonder if that's what they're sort of thinking about in those rounds.
I'll tell you this, Matt Barrows, all questions will be answered in the
coming finally. Week. I can't wait for it to start up so that we can all the sort of, you know, projections that we're doing will actually have answers.
And I don't know why, and maybe it's just a prisoner of the moment. This draft feels a little bit more at this point like silly season than it has. It's been so much at this point. Like, let's just do this thing. So with that, Mr. Barrows, this is actually the last Tracy Sandler show before the draft. Obviously, I will be recapping the draft, and I will be doing, depending how Thursday night goes, I'll be doing a short, you know, episode just to kind of get everybody updated on what happened and what the 49ers did or didn't do and all of that. But Matt Barrows, where can everyone find you this week?
At Matt Barrows on Twitter. And then of course at The Athletic. And if you like mock drafts, sort of like ad nauseum mock drafts, we got mock drafts coming out the yin yang on The Athletic site. So check us out there. I wrote a story about Luke McCaffrey. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like if there's one player that the 49ers are going to wind up with on draft day, it's going to be, or on the draft three-day period, it's going to be Luke McCaffrey. I feel like it's the Niners versus the field when it comes to Luke McCaffrey. So if you want to learn about Luke McCaffrey, another guy that changed positions midway through his college career, you can find that story.
And good bloodlines there, too. Some really good
bloodlines,
big in a bloodlines. You guys, you can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, please give us a 5-star rating and leave us a 5-star review. We are brought to you by FIVO. We are brought to you by Bet Online. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.